Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for bringing us together this morning on this beautiful day. Lord, I want to thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to us to be our helper, to be our guide, to give us these gifts so we might use to glorify your name and bring others to knowing your Son, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, I ask your wisdom this morning as I read from your word and speak what you've laid on my heart. Lord, if I deviate from this, I ask that you bring me back in the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. I usually prepare my sermons sometimes about 2 weeks in advance. And that gives a chance, just in case something comes up, it'll be ready. Should our alternating back and forth not work out. And I had a sermon prepared, and it was in this series still of the Holy Spirit. And it had to do with the witnessing of the Spirit. But come mid this week, that changed. And I had another one prepared until yesterday, and then changed again. So the Holy Spirit, certainly, it's not a spirit of confusion. There is a plan, but sometimes he keeps me hopping around so that I can learn too. So this week we're going to pick up with the series on the Holy Spirit. We started with the deity of the Holy Spirit. Then we went to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And this morning we read in Corinthians chapter 12 this idea of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're all given by the same Spirit. And we're going to talk through these. So within the series of the Holy Spirit, we're going to do a sub-series on the gifts of the Spirit. So we'll start part A of part 5 of the Holy Spirit, if you're following along. If you would turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. First Peter chapter 4, verse 11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. If you've been given a gift of the word of wisdom, the first of the spiritual gifts that we talked about, this isn't a humanly wisdom that we're to impart. This is a wisdom only came through the Holy Spirit as part of God. You see, if we try to minister and teach of our own wisdom, it'll fall flat, because there's no power behind it. But when we speak as an oracle of God, then God is using us to make His will known to others. When we step away from that, and we step away from that gift that God supplies, we're taking away the glory that God had set aside for Himself through us. And we're putting emphasis on ourselves. And this scripture tells us that if anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. You see, that's the point. He wants to glorify Himself through us. And when we step out and start using our own abilities rather than what God supplies, we deny Him that opportunity. I've spoken in front of generals. I've spoken in front of 100 to 200 flight men wearing their dress blues. I've spoken in front of the Marines, in front of foreign dignitaries. I have a skill in public speaking when it comes to that. However, when I step up here and I read the word, I'll stumble. Sometimes. I'll stutter sometimes. And I think that's just so that God has a chance to show you I'm not anything special. We're all going to stutter sometimes. And sometimes that has a more powerful message than us talking cleanly, clearly, concisely. He's using the gifts He supplies to us that are perfect for that situation. Turn with me to James. First James 5 through 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of a sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. You see, in order for us to present a word of wisdom, we need to receive it. And we're to ask for that wisdom. And it says, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. When your heart says, Lord, I know you're calling me to talk to somebody. I know you're calling me to say something now. Ask for God to give you wisdom. It says He will give it to you liberally, without reproach. He's not going to say, well, you should know this. Don't ask for my wisdom. He'll give it to you liberally and without reproach. And it will be given to him. Not it might. When God's put something on your heart and you get down on your knees and you ask for wisdom, it will be there. That's what the Word says. But it continues there. And it says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. You see, if we start to sit there in doubt and go, Lord, I need your wisdom. I hope you give it to me. Then what we're saying is, God, I don't trust your word. I don't believe what you said. And that's a sin. We start to doubt. Will God really do what He said? You see, and when we start to doubt, and especially if we're talking about witnessing to someone, if you believe on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will be saved. But if we have doubt in our hearts, and the devil starts working on that other person and says, okay, what about those thousands of people out there that never got a chance to hear Jesus? They were way off in South America while He was over in the Middle East. How did they even have a chance? What kind of God would damn all of those people? You see, that's how the devil works. And then we start to doubt. And we forget, oh, wait a second. What does the Word really say? You see, we're supposed to ask for that wisdom and believe it will be there with faith, no doubt. And once we start doubting, we step down into sin. And once we step down into sin, we're exposed for the devil to start attacking us through this other person. So ask for wisdom and believe it will be there. Don't doubt it. That's what the second group of scripture says. Well, how are we supposed to ask for this wisdom? Turn with me to Ephesians. A little numbers flipping over. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 16.
Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. You see, we're to pray and ask for this wisdom. And we're to pray and ask for this wisdom for ourselves. We can pray and ask for this wisdom for others. These gentlemen, in the morning when they pray for Jim and I to have words. The words given by God. That's part of Scripture, that we might do that to help one another. Before I pray, I ask for God to give me wisdom. That's part of Scripture. I hope I never stop doing it, because then I lose the focus. So we're to pray. My neighbor. He's unsaved. And he's got such an anger towards Christians. That it becomes a defensive conversation right off the bat. And when he comes over, as I see him walking across the yard, that's when I'll pray. God, I ask for your wisdom. I know you're working in his life. I can see it. May your name be glorified. That took 10 seconds. Doesn't take us very long to do it. We're to pray and we're to ask for this wisdom. I have no doubt that it'll be there. Turn with me to Acts. Chapter 6. Begin in verse 8. Now, just to give you a setting here, this is Stephen. He's in amongst the Jews after Jesus is gone. He's defending the faith. In verse 8, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Then though there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Syrians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. You see, when we ask for that wisdom, and we don't doubt that wisdom, and we stay in that wisdom comes from an ultimate truth. An ultimate truth. And when measured against this, it's either wrong or right. Inarguable. When measured against an ultimate truth. And there's a power behind that. You see, we're not wrestling with flesh and blood. We're wrestling with spirits. And those spirits that are there at that battlefield, at that instant, because that's what you're at, when you're witnessing to someone, you're in the middle of a fight. You're on the front lines. You're fighting for a soul. And there's a spirit, maybe more, on the other side of that, trying to fight back with you through this person. But they know this word. And they know it's truth. And they'll try and deceive this person. But it's still truth. It doesn't change the fact that it's still truth. And just like with Stephen, he was full of faith and power and did great wonders and signs among the people. And it says, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by what she spoke. You see, there's no argument
against the truth. There's deceit.
It's not a debate.
It's the fact and somebody trying to lie to you. A spirit.
One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is the word of wisdom. We're to use the power God provides to us. We're to ask for it from the Lord. We're not to doubt it, that it won't come. And when it does come, it imparts a powerful. Powerful platform. That's the first of them. The second is the word of knowledge. You see, wisdom and knowledge sometimes come hand in hand, sometimes they come separate. If you would turn with me to John 14. In verse 25, the Gospel of John. Now Jesus is talking with His disciples. He knows what they have before Him. He knows once soon He's going to have to leave. And when He leaves, He knows that these disciples are going to have to carry on God's will here on earth. That they're going to have to go teach multitudes, teach nations, Jews and Gentiles alike across the world. He knows He's taught them to ask for wisdom. And Jesus knows the Word because He is the Word. But He knows soon He's going to have to leave them. And in verse 25, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. You see, Jesus says, when I leave, I'm going to send you the Helper, the Holy Spirit. He's going to teach you. Teaching imparts knowledge. And in Jesus' absence, the Holy Spirit is here to help us, to teach us the Word, to have knowledge of the Word. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And brethren, when I came to you, did not come with the excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom of God, ordained before the ages of our glory, for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You see, he gets to that point right there. He says, all right, we have all this human wisdom. And yeah, we've been given the Word. But none of the rulers of this age knew. They didn't have a knowledge. They didn't understand the Word. Because if they had, they wouldn't have crucified Jesus Christ. They would have known He was the Lord. See, they didn't have that knowledge. Verse 9. But as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered in the hearts of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. This morning, in Sunday school, one of the topics was, do we know we're doing wrong? And, oh yeah, we know when we're doing something maybe morally wrong based on our upbringing. But there's some times when we don't understand the Word of God yet to know what's wrong until we have that knowledge. See, we could have heard it and not really heard it. Not really know it. And God may not have revealed to us yet that knowledge. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God, the things which we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You see, what that is saying is we might know and have knowledge of man's laws. We might know and have knowledge of what's wrong and right through morality established by man. But until the Holy Spirit gets involved, we don't know the things of the Lord. You see, the Holy Spirit can work on us when we're younger. And He can reveal to us, hey, what you're doing is wrong. The Holy Spirit can talk to us when we're older and convict us and say, you're living in sin. But until that Holy Spirit gets involved, we only know the things of man. We wonder how some of these atrocities can be committed afar. How can these things happen? How can people think to allow these things to occur? Until the Holy Spirit brings the knowledge of God to them, they only have the knowledge of man. Until the Holy Spirit's there to convict them of what they're doing against God's law, they only have the laws of man. You see, the Bible gives us several stories where He would send prophets out to go speak the Word to people, to give them that knowledge. Jonah didn't want to go talk to the town, the people, in the foreign countries. He didn't want to travel for it. They should get what they deserve. They should know better. But God wanted him to go and tell him. And even after he told him, he sat up there on the hill and waited for God to just wipe him out. But until he delivered that word for him through the power of the Holy Spirit, they didn't know what they were doing was wrong. They had the knowledge of man's law until the Holy Spirit came. In Ephesians, when I read earlier, it said we're to pray for wisdom and knowledge. We need the wisdom of the Lord, but we also need the knowledge, the true understanding of His Word. or to pray for these things. Acts 8. Again. We're in 6 before, now we're in 8, so we're close. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south, along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert." So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, had come to Jerusalem to worship. Was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake the chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. You see, we have Bibles out there galore. And several unsaved are out there. They read the Bibles even. They'd be knowledgeable from a man's point of view of the words inside of here. This eunuch had the scriptures in front of him. He was reading them. But see, the Lord sent Philip. The Holy Spirit took a piece of the body and said, "You need to come over here now. I need you to do my will. Stop this carriage." And Philip did this, and he ran up to it and he asked him, "Do you understand what you are reading?" You see, and this is how the Holy Spirit works. The eunuch answered, "How can I unless someone guides me?" You see, he understood that there was more out there because the Holy Spirit was working on his heart. There's more beyond these words. I just can't grasp it. And that's where the word of knowledge comes in. To help explain the word. To bridge the gap of understanding. I'm sure you've had people come up to you before and ask you, "I read this in the Bible. What does that mean?" That's an opportunity for God working through the Holy Spirit through you to take another member of His body and use it. We're to pray for wisdom and knowledge in those situations, to understand the Word, to work them through it. Acts 16. Now the Lord has a greater plan than we can even fathom. And the Holy Spirit uses us to enact that plan. And with Philip, there will be times when he asks us to go because he's got it set up for us to help someone. Either through a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, a healing, a miracle of some sort. He's got the plan. And as I talked last week, when we're anointed to do that, we need to just go and do it. Respond. But this plan is bigger than us. And sometimes we might think we're to deliver a message when really we're supposed to keep our mouth quiet. And that's why I ask the Lord to keep me quiet. Give me the wisdom to know when to shut up. In Acts 16, verse 6. Now when they had gone through Phrygia, I'll probably pronounce that wrong, or Phrygia, and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. We aren't told why in here. But he has a greater plan. And sometimes the devil might try and work against us and bring somebody to us with the intent of doing damage to us, to deceive us. And there will be times when we don't need to be in that conversation. The Holy Spirit will forbid us. So we're to be open to the calling of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes He wants us to go, and sometimes He wants us to keep our mouth quiet. 1 John. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is Christ? He is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who will try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it is just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him. You see, the Holy Spirit's there to teach us in those instances when someone's trying to deceive us. The Holy Spirit knows the Word. If the Holy Spirit abides in you, you have this lie detector that can go off. When you start to hear someone misquote a scripture, the needle will go off. That's because the Holy Spirit is inside of us. And when it recognizes that lie, when it hears that lie, when it spots that lie, it's seen a sin. I ask you, if you'd like, go through any of the scriptures on your own, and if you find anything that I've presented this morning in error, please bring it to me. I'm just a man like anybody else. I can make mistakes. I can step outside of His will. That Holy Spirit is inside of each and every one of you. Because anybody who steps behind this pulpit can do the same thing. They can make a mistake. It abides inside of you to help detect when truth's not coming out. And if it lays it upon your heart, if something just doesn't set right, investigate it. Read the Word. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Pray for that wisdom. Pray for that knowledge. It says it'll give it to you to understand that Word. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You. I want to thank you for the gifts that you've given us. Lord, I want to thank you for distributing those gifts so that as a body, we can glorify you. As a body, we can work together. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for reminding us that no part's greater than another in the body. No part's weaker when you put it to use. Heavenly Father, I ask that you bless us as we go forth. Lord, continue to use your Holy Spirit to talk to us. If there are those of us that are hard of head and hard of heart, let him use a sledgehammer if he has to. Holy Spirit, keep us aware. Keep us aware of lies and deceptions. And Lord, in all things, may you be glorified. May your will be done. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.